Good morning and welcome in the name of Christ. It's great to have you joining us for this morning's message. Last Sunday was, of course, Mother's Day, but it was also another important day on the Christian calendar. It was Ascension Day. So our text for today comes from Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. Where we hear Jesus' last instructions to his disciples before leaving this earth. What is your favorite holiday? Ask the average Christian what their favorite holiday is, and most will say Christmas, some will say Easter or Thanksgiving, and a few might even say Independence Day. I had a friend who would say Independence Day, and when I asked him why, he said, "Because I just love blowing stuff up." Well, he used a different word than stuff, but I think you get the idea. Lately, many will even say Halloween, which is not even a Christian holiday, but it continues to gain in popularity. In fact, according to some sources, it has become the second most popular holiday in America, with Christmas still at number one. Yes, we all do have our favorite holidays, but I would bet that almost no one would say that their favorite holiday is the day we celebrated last week. Last Sunday, all over the Christian world, was Ascension Day, the day when Christ left this earth and ascended into heaven. The events of this day are fundamental to our Christian faith. What Christ did on this day is so important for every Christian that it should not be just glossed over. Perhaps the problem is that we don't know just what to make of the Ascension, because we're not sure what it has to do with us, and we don't really know what it does for us. It might be a bit awkward to say it that way, as it might show that, well, we're a bit self-absorbed. We Americans like holidays that we can celebrate with a family get-together, a party, or a barbecue. Holidays like Christmas, New Year's Eve, and Halloween all accommodate this kind of celebration very well. We like holidays that leave us with lots of warm, fuzzy feelings and leave us feeling good about ourselves. There have been several church leaders who have suggested that this is one of the biggest reasons that church attendance and church membership in the United States continues to decline. They say that this is the sign of a self-serving and self-centered society. Unlike in former times, Americans today are not going to church to learn what they can do for God. Now they go to church to see what God can do for them. Then when they find out that God actually expects something of them as the member of a church, that they are to use their time and their money for something besides their own self-gratification, that is when they no longer seem to be interested in the church. But if you stop to think about what took place on Ascension Day, this is one of the most important events that we celebrate in the Christian faith. This is the day Jesus left this earth and ascended into heaven. Ascension Day is the day on the Christian calendar that directs our attention to this great promise of the Christian faith. Jesus said that all who believe in him and keep his commandments would one day follow him. If you stop to consider the implications of what took place on this day, it is indeed one of the most important days of the year that we celebrate. Think about it. We celebrate this event every time we gather for a Christian funeral. This is the promise of God and the great hope of the Christian faith, that one day we will all be able to follow Christ and also make our ascent into heaven. This is the reason that Christians can gather together at the death of a loved one and not just be in mourning. Although we have sustained a loss and our family and our friends have sustained a loss, yet we can gather together and give God thanks for a life that has been shared with us. A Christian funeral is not just a time of mourning and sorrow. It is also a time of celebration and remembrance. At a Christian funeral, we gather together to celebrate a life and to praise God for what Christ has accomplished for us in his time on the earth. Because we know this physical existence is not all there is to this life. And we also know that our time on earth is not all there is to our existence. This is a point that virtually every major world religion agrees upon, that we have a soul and that that soul lives on. And for the Christian, it is present with the Lord in our heavenly home and in a new resurrected body, just like Jesus had when he appeared to the disciples. I like how C.S. Lewis stated this fact when he said, "You are a soul. You have a body. The essence of what you are and who you are is eternal. The only choice we are then given is where we choose to spend eternity once we have passed from this life." This essential belief of Christianity is also why we remember those who have lived and died with a holiday like Memorial Day, one that we will soon be celebrating. The reason for a holiday like Memorial Day is so that we will remember those who have given their lives in service to our country, and to remember friends and loved ones by visiting cemeteries and decorating their graves. It is both an act of remembrance and a look to the future in anticipation of the day when we will be reunited with friends and loved ones once again. While most of us may not know quite what to make of Jesus' ascension, Luke clearly thought it was a pivotal event in history. As most of you know, Dr. Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. So why did Luke end his Gospel where he did, with Jesus' ascension? He could have ended it with Easter or Pentecost. Why do you think he chose to end the first volume of his story with the ascension, and then also begin the second work by talking again about the ascension? For Luke, this was the event that ties these two books together. As he states at the beginning of his second work in Acts 1, verses 1 through 5, where he writes these words, "In my first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" And he continues on in verse 9. "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" Consider the implication of these events. Luke draws the line between his two books at this point, because it is the end of one thing and the beginning of another. It was the end of the story of Jesus Christ, his life and ministry, and it was the beginning of the story of how Jesus' ministry changed the world in just a few short years. The Gospel of Luke is the story of all that Jesus did and taught. The second follows all the doings and teachings of his disciples, all those that claimed to follow this new religious movement referred to by its followers as the Way. One tells about what Jesus did. The other tells of the effects of Jesus' life and teachings on the world. This is the story of how the Christian faith was established and grew. Just as Elijah's ministry ended when he was taken up into heaven on a fiery chariot, Elisha's ministry then began at this point. So Jesus' ministry ended on earth when he was taken up into heaven, and the ministry of his followers truly began. Up to this point, they were followers. Now they were to become the leaders of a new faith that would completely turn the world upside down and transform it in just a short period of time. If we go to the Gospel of John, to the 17th chapter, we can get a true sense of what Jesus expected his followers to do after he was gone, as he prays for his disciples in the garden. In his prayer, Jesus asks his Father to protect them from the evil one as they go out into the world. They are to be in the world, but not become a part of the world, for their true home is in heaven. They are to be his witnesses, the agents that he has trained and will be sent out to transform the world. And all who claim to be his followers accepts the responsibility to share Jesus' message. So why should we be excited about Jesus' ascension? Why should we celebrate it and remember it? Because it is a pivotal moment in Christian history. And also because it reminds us of the great promise of God to us and to all who believe, of eternal life and a heavenly home. But it is also a defining moment for every Christian. For just like the disciples of Jesus' day, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, it marks the end of his ministry on earth and the beginning of ours. As Jesus told his disciples, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in my name to all the nations. You are witnesses of these things. In her book, Unbinding the Gospel, Martha Grace Reese asks the question, what fills your pitcher and causes it to overflow? If you believe that hell or heaven is a consequence of a decision to become or not become a Christian, that may fill your pitcher almost to the top. If you don't believe that, you have to have your pitcher filled with many other reasons to get it to the top. So what is filling your pitcher? Is it overflowing? She makes the point that our desire to share the good news comes from our genuine belief that we are filled with good news. So, do you really believe the good news of the gospel and that it is good enough news to share with someone else? Eternal life and a home in heaven. Don't you believe that this is something worth sharing? After all, this is the great promise of the Christian faith. This is the hope that lies within us. So let me ask, when is the last time that you acted as a witness for Jesus Christ and shared the good news of what Christ did with someone else? And if not, why not? So that we may be salt and light. Amen.